Hey guys, welcome to the Falcoholics post-game podcast for the 2019 season, week 7, the Atlanta Falcons hosting the Los Angeles Rams. Joining me as always is my co-host and fellow writer at the Falcoholic, Evan Birchfield. Evan, how are you doing?
Not good, and I imagine the fine folks listening right now aren't doing well either. So, how are you doing, DW?
Well, I drank through it, so I'm not as bad as I could be.
Yeah.
But this is easily... I've been watching the Falcons since 1980 for the most part, and I will say this is one of the worst Falcons performances I've seen in recent memory. So that tells you about how bad it was. For those who don't know, if you're listening to this, the Falcons did lose. They lost 37-10 to the Los Angeles Rams, who came in on a three-game losing streak, who came in with Todd Gurley not performing up to par, Jared Goff struggling, and of course the solution to many ills in the NFL is to face the Falcons defense. The 37, it was really 30-10 because the last 7 points came off of a special teams turnover. But realistically, this was just a debacle of a game, and it was a debacle of a game that Dan Quinn needed, I think, to be able to save his job. And I think we're at the point where there are a lot of fans asking if Arthur Blank can even wait for the end of the season or even the bye week, which is just 1 week away. We have one more game until the bye week. So, Evan, just real quick, what are your quick thoughts about this game, about what happened today against the Rams?
Well, it was weird. Matt Ryan, for the folks that didn't watch, Matt Ryan left with a ankle injury. Where me and DW were doing this like literally minutes after the game ended. So by the time you're listening to this, it may be known what the injury actually is, but he was looking hobbled walking into the block or the, backstage or whatever you call it. And Devontae Freeman got in a fight with Aaron Donald. it was a weird game. Yeah, and like you said, that last 7 points, a lot of folks probably thought the game ended 10-30 because it came with like less than 30 seconds left. So a lot of folks probably just shut the game off and assumed the final score was 10-30, but it is 10-37. It's rough. In I know we'll dive deeper into it, but my initial thoughts were in the first half, I thought the defense wasn't terrible. We got some like the Foy Luakon, roughing the passer that really wasn't. He hit Goff, and like it was if it was 30 years ago, it was as clean textbook of a hit as you can get on a quarterback, and he fell on him because the NFL wants you to be able to somehow, if you hit the quarterback, rotate your body off of them, which is pretty impossible to do. And the defense, I thought, did well in the first half. Let me look right here. I believe it was the Rams only had 13 in the first half. At halftime, the Rams only had 13 points, which to me is a win, considering what we saw, from the defense this year. But in the second half, they pretty much just showed up. The old Falcons defense we're used to this season showed up at halftime, and we pretty much got blown out. Did you have any other thoughts I didn't touch on?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on a lot of it. The big thing for me is this is the first game at home after, being on the road for a couple weeks. It was against a team that, coming in, had lost three in a row. They were struggling. Jared Goff, as a QB, is someone that, is not as mobile as some of the quarterbacks we faced in the past few weeks. So if the Falcons pass rush was going to finally come alive, this should have been the game. The Rams have an offensive line that has struggled, and they also have a QB who does not do well against blitz. And yet again, Falcons did not register a single sack in this game. I think that is four straight games now. and they have 5 on the season after 7 games, which is, I don't have to spell this out. That is dismal. That is beyond bad. That is arguably bottom of the league and enough to get a defensive coordinator fired. Just so happens the defensive coordinator for this team is also the head coach. So let's talk about the offense, because this was, I think, an area of big frustration. The last 2 games, they've played well. You know, they've scored 30-plus points in the past couple of games. Today, they scored 10 points against the Rams defense, which, you know, arguably has much better playmakers. You've got Aaron Donald. You've got Dante Fowler, who I think got 3 sacks in this game. You've got Jalen Ramsey, who arguably did not even have a great game. Julio was burning him repeatedly. You know, that was sort of the story of this game, is the Falcons offense could not get anything going with just 10 points on the board. Matt Ryan, before he was injured, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, 16 of 27 for 159 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 1 fluky as hell interception, a screen pass to Sanu that bounced off his hands and was intercepted. Devontae Freeman, 7 carries, 19 yards. Receiving, Julio Jones, 6 receptions, 93 yards, led the day. Austin Hooper, 4 for 46 in the touchdown. Just not a whole lot going against this Rams defense, which I will remind folks, the Bucs scored 40-plus points against just a few weeks ago on the road. So what do you make of this Falcons offense and only scoring 10 points against a Rams defense that has struggled in recent weeks?
Yeah, it's a shame because, you know, what you were mentioning about Ramsey, Julio Jones actually had like a solid day, and he would have had a much better one, but the times he did beat Ramsey, Ryan just overthrew him, or it just didn't connect or whatever. Ryan, I think this is the first game this season where he didn't have over 300 yards. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Because he finished with 153 and I believe 159. I believe every game before this he's had 300, which I believe was some sort of record I remember seeing, or 7 would have been a record. But yeah, it's right. It's night and day compared to what we saw last week. If you listen to last week's podcast, me and DW were pretty much talking up the Falcons offense. You know, even though they lost, they put points on the board. Everybody pretty much did their jobs. It just came down to the defense against the Arizona Cardinals, and that's why we lost that game. This game, totally different. The Falcons went into halftime with like 3 points. I think it was 13-3 at halftime.
Right.
It's just, you know, and then the only touchdown came, I think, was like, what, towards the end when Schaub hit Hooper. And Matt Schaub, like, had like a perfect game when he came in. He went for 6 for 6, 65 yards, touchdown, 151.4 quarterback rating. Like, he looked solid. It was weird. It's just a weird game. And Hooper's actually first catch, I think, came towards the, I think it was like a minute 35 in the third quarter. So the first half, almost the first 3 quarters, you could say, he wasn't even involved. It's a shame because, I mean, like you said, the Rams defense has struggled, but we are a get right game, as you've mentioned. And the Rams got right, and, you know, good for them. But, you know, I think the narrative, at least during the game, if you listen to the announcers, was like Ramsey was like, you know, stopping Julio and stuff, which if you watch the game, wasn't the case. Julio was constantly getting open. It was just Matt Ryan didn't see him or overthrew him or whatever. And he still finished with 6 catches for 93 yards. Like Julio Jones did Julio Jones. So I wouldn't let a Ramsey narrative, you know, bother you or anything, but yeah, it's just, absolutely, it's unfortunate, but you know, Freeman getting ejected certainly didn't help. I mean, he's had some pretty good games lately, and he finished today with 7 carries, 19 yards. So we didn't really have a commitment to the run game. You know, Brian Hill came in, 5 carries, 11 yards. There really was no run game. And then Ito Smith, we're hoping he's okay. He had 1 carry for 7 yards, and he left with a concussion on a what was it, pass coverage or whatever. I think he got rolled or something. And
helmet contact knocked him out early in the game. And I think some fans are going to rightfully look at this and say, why is someone like Kenyon Barner active? Mm-hmm. And ironically, Barner had a good game today returning the ball. While, you know, your draft pick Olsen is sitting on the bench. It's hard to predict that you're going to lose your top two running backs in the game and be forced to go with your third running back. And, you know, Brian Hill did, you know, well enough in those circumstances. But, I think we're at the point with the Falcons where their moves with the guys who are active versus inactive are not the big issue here. It's not what's keeping this team from winning. Whether or not you have Matt Gono active versus Tyson Breo is not going to be the difference between 37-10 and you beating the Rams in this game. It's pretty clear Dirk Koetter doesn't have an offense for good off, does not have a plan for good defenses. He does not have a plan for a pass rush that can get to Ryan, which they did all game long with guys like Dante Fowler and Aaron Donald. When it comes to the offense, that is where you've spent a lot of your money in the offseason. You spent your first two first round draft picks to fix this offensive line. And obviously you cannot, you can't put too much blame on your first round pick going out for injury. Chris Lindstrom and Kayla McGarry is a rookie. He's struggling at right tackle. And that was bound to happen because that's a tough position in the NFL. But still, you've spent all of this draft capital on your offense. You've got Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Austin Hooper, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, and you score 10 points. And it's not the first time this has happened. So I don't think that Dirk Koetter gets a free pass here because Dan Quinn is stinking up the joint. If anything, in my opinion, Dirk Koetter deserves as much blame for fielding an offense that's been wildly inconsistent, incredibly uncreative in the plays that we've seen on the field. And today it was so bad that it got Matt Ryan injured. Matt Ryan was in a boot after the game, which is the first time since 2009. This quarterback has put up with some absolute garbage over the years, and this is arguably one of the absolute worst seasons that we've seen him have to put up with. And that includes, I think, even 2013, 2014, which were some disastrous seasons. So any final thoughts? I mean, for me, it's the defense played better. There were nothing to write home about. I thought that they played better, but for me, the offense really was the big story in this one. Their inability to protect Ryan, their inability to score, their inability to do anything. Do you have any final thoughts on the Falcons' offense against this Rams defense before we flip the script?
I guess it's kind of tied together, but like in the first half, well, I'll save it for the defense. I'll save what I was going to say for the defense.
Okay. So with that, we're going to talk about the defense next, because this is obviously a point of contention for many Falcons fans. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Falcoholics postgame podcast. This is David Walker, joined as always by my co-host, Evan Birchfield. And we're talking about the Falcons' painful loss to the Rams, 37-10, the loss that puts them at 1-6 and puts Dan Quinn firmly on the hot seat for the season, possibly as someone who could be fired in the next week or two. And Evan, I want to talk about the Falcons' defense, because at this point, it's almost embarrassing. It's beyond embarrassing. The Falcons have played 7 games, and they have 5 sacks. 5 sacks in 7 games. Guys like Tack McKinley, Vic Beasley have been completely invisible the last 4 games. Grady Jarrett, I think, is still doing his part, and he is one of the few players that is playing consistently well on the defense, yet this team cannot impact the quarterback. And it's an area of major concern. It's an area that, honestly, since the team moved on from John Abraham back in 2013, that they have not been able to address. What is your take on this pass rush and how it's affecting this Falcons defense this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been the biggest eye-opening thing, and it's probably what's going to lead to Dan Quinn being fired. You know, what we've talked about on previous ones is he basically took the initiative to say, okay, this is my defense again. I'm going to lead you to the promised land. And this, you know, similar to 2016, and it's not that defense was a lead or anything. The offense, obviously, scoring definitely helped. But when he does something like that, he's going all in because he knows he's on the hot seat heading into the season, I mean. And you see how this defense has performed, and it's not good enough. And the expectations were high, and they're clearly, you know, not playing up to form, as you can see in pretty much every game this season. But I did want to say, like in the first half, as I mentioned earlier in the show, is the defense I thought was doing pretty well. There was, you know, a fake punt for a first down, which, you know, that's, I can't blame the defense for that because that's, you know, a mixture of special teams. And then on top of that, there was the bad call, as we talked about, the roughing the passer, which I know it's the rule, but it's stupid. And it's
yes,
so like,
agreed.
It's going to get to the point where you literally are two hand touching the quarterback, because what Foy did was he, for the folks that didn't watch it, he hit him up front. And then obviously because of gravity, you fall onto that person. It wasn't like he drove him into the ground. He fell on top of him. Like, what else do you want him to do? It's getting ridiculous. And it's not just the Falcons thing. Every team's been burnt by it over the last probably 3 or 4 years. And it was big because it led to a Todd Gurley touchdown reception, where it could have been a field goal. It could have been a miss because Greg Zuerlein actually missed one earlier in the game in the first half where it hit the upright. Yep. It's sad to see the refs constantly affect the games. And they did it last week where the Falcons were, you know, and that's no excuse for losing, you know, by 27 points. But you see the refs are definitely playing a larger part in these games. More impactful last week, I believe, because Kyler Murray was short, but of the first down towards the end there. But in this game, you know, that's where the Falcons defense, who already are garbage, actually are making stops. And the refs are like, no, we're going to help the Rams out here. Like, right. as if they needed more help. It's a shame. It really is. And, you know, the Rams put it together in the second half. And, you know, not to say we stop them that drive, we end up winning the game. I'm not saying that. But the Falcons defense did look decent in the first half. I think the biggest problem with this is, you know, obviously none of us are NFL head coaches, but, you know, making a metaphor so you can kind of relate to it. Imagine being back in school and they're telling you for 7 straight weeks, hey, you have a test this week, and you fail it every week, and you've had all week to study for it. And it's like this is week 7, and this is the outcome. You know, we're not seeing any changes. It'd be one thing if the defense was looking improved. They're just looking even worse, you could say. If not worse, they're definitely looking the same every week. There's no real improvement. There's no real changes. Like, Sherrod Neesman should at least get some chances. I think DeAndre and Sanat should at least be active 1 week just to, I mean, what the hell? Like, why not at this point?
Exactly.
It just looks like nobody cares, you know, and it's sad because I like Dan Quinn and, you know, I wanted him to turn this around, but it's not happening. There's no way he doesn't get fired at this point. I'll put it that way. 1-6 with this talented of a roster, and folks will say, oh, is it talented? There's really no difference between this and the 2016 roster when you look at personnel. You could argue that it's a better roster on offense and defense, but, you know, that doesn't really matter anymore. We're at 1-6. The season's toast. I don't think a team's ever started 1-6 and made the playoffs, and I don't see the Falcons being a team to make history in a good way. So, yeah. So sorry, I'm rambling on, DW. I'll let you take over on the defensive side.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think we're going to see 9 straight wins in the playoff berth.
Certainly not. We haven't even played a division game. Like, how mind-boggling is that?
It is mind-boggling. And, you know, when you look at the division, the Rams, the Panthers are both winning without their starting QBs. Both have very good defenses. It just doesn't make you feel much better about this season. And honestly, the way the Falcons are playing, I said it earlier today on Twitter, I'm going to hold to this. The Falcons are playing like the worst team in the NFL right now, and I don't understand it. But, you know, some bright spots on defense. Deion Jones, I thought, played really well. You know, he had one bad play, but he had 3 tackles for loss. You know, he is showing up. I think if you're going to look at this Falcons defense, there's 2 names that consistently show up every single week. It's Deion Jones. It's Grady Jarrett. Past that, I'm not sure that that there's anyone that's worth, you know, really writing home about. Tyler Davidson's been okay, but you know, the rest of this defensive roster has been hit or miss week to week. Deion and Grady are both, I think, worth the money. They're guys you can still build off of. They're both in their mid-20s. So whatever coach comes in after this, and I'm going under the assumption that Dan Quinn is not going to survive the season, whether he is cut at the end of the season or mid-season, you know, at least you've got Jarrett and Jones, you know, showing you that you've got some young core pieces that can be built off of on the defense. It's for a defense to give up 30 points to the Rams, it's damning praise. You know, across the board, I think if you look at this, you know, we've got Vic Beasley on the trade block, and I think for good reason. He didn't register a single statistic again for the second week in a row. You know, Tack McKinley, he did have some pressures in this game, but again, did not show up on the stat sheet. There's just so many guys. You know, first round picks, you know, you're talking about both McKinley and Vic. These are 2 first round picks the Falcons drafted, hoping that they would fix the pass rush. Both guys have disappeared completely in the past 4 weeks. And that is highly concerning. And the question becomes, I think, for many Falcons fans, when you look at the season like this, it becomes very hard to decipher. Is the problem the players? Is the problem the coaches, or is the problem a mix of both? And for whatever coach comes in, he's going to have to look at a player like Tack McKinley, like a Vic Beasley, if he's still here, and say, is this a guy that I think that I can do something with? Is this a guy that I think the previous coaches did not use properly? Or is he going to have to just hit the reset button and say, I'm done with all these guys except for the guys who've already proven themselves? You know, like I mentioned, Jarrett and Jones being on that very, very short and small list. This defense, I think, could be so much better. Right now, they are arguably one of the worst in the league. And I think they've got enough talent to be at least somewhere in the middle. You know, they don't have to be good. They don't have to be top 10, even top 15. But right now, they're in the bottom 3 or 4. And, you know, for a guy, Dan Quinn, who is heralded as a defensive genius coming out of Seattle, someone that we thought would finally turn this defense around, he has fielded one of the worst defenses we've seen in recent history. And this is compared even to 2018, when half of his roster was on injured reserve. So such a damning, damning game. It's the kind of game that I think if you're looking for the game that's going to end Dan Quinn's time with Atlanta, I think this is it. You know, even if he beats the Seahawks next week, and I don't know about you, Evan, but I'm not willing to put money on that happening. even if that happens, 2-6, as you mentioned, there's very little hope of them making the playoffs. I think statistically, you have a better chance of winning the lottery than the Falcons making the playoffs at this point. This is a season that is lost. And if Matt Ryan is going to miss any time because of this ankle injury, which, you know, we don't know the extent of it at this point, there's probably little to no hope that you're going to win the next game even if you do think Matt Schaub is the best backup quarterback. So I think we're about to go into the bye week at 1-7. I think we're about to face an upheaval in this coaching staff. At minimum, I think Dan Quinn could be gone. And I'll be honest, with the way the offense performed today, it would not shock me if Dirk Cutter is let go sooner than the end of the season. 10 points at home with the offensive talent you have, I can't see that he has a tremendous amount of the faith of the front office either. So any final thoughts, Evan, before we close out this podcast? I know this is a hard game to cover. You and I have had to cover a really, really rough season this year, but any final thoughts you want to throw out there about this 37-10 loss?
Yeah, it's a shame that this is the position we're at, and we're technically still not at the halfway point. The bye week will be a refresher because we can go a week without feeling like, well, we got to watch the Falcons lose this weekend. But then we have the divisional games, and the sad thing is I don't know where the next win comes from. We talk about this every week, but right. Who's it going to be against? Maybe the Buccaneers are the best chance, and that's no gimme. We still have the rest of the division. We still have, who else do we got? We got the 49ers. The Jaguars, who are playing good football. Like,
yep.
It's a shame, but we realistically could be 1-15 at the end of the season, 2-14. This doesn't screen, like, you look at this roster, you know, and I think it's just crazy because a couple weeks ago in preseason, sure, we weren't winning preseason games, but, like, you know, it's preseason. When we looked at this roster, we were like, okay, we're going to be fine. And if we didn't make the playoffs, you know, we thought we'd be close. 9-7, 8-8 at the worst. But this team might realistically win like less than 3 games. And that's a best case scenario right now, because I mean, I'm not trying to be, a negative Nancy here, but the schedule doesn't show, like, we can't just insert the Dolphins a couple times. Like, and we still probably would lose that game. We have a history of losing to them, but you know, and that's the AFC in general. But I mean, realistically, where do you see a win coming from? Because we're not going to beat the Saints. I want us to. I hate the Saints. You know, maybe something will happen. But I mean, like, even without their freaking starting quarterback, they're a good team. It's crazy. Whereas now we might see how that feels. And heck, maybe we'll be a good team. I don't know. This is a weird NFL season. But I don't see us beating the Jaguars later. Week 17 going to Tampa. That could be a win, because we might be in a situation where the Falcons lose that and we have the number one pick or number two pick. And the Falcons are like, wait a second, similar to last year, let's win this game. And they'll knock us into like a, 10th pick or something. I could see that happening, but it's a shame. It really is a shame. And I don't want to, seem like I'm so not optimistic and stuff, but when you wait all season for this, I know DW is the same way. You sit here and you write a bunch of articles about the team, you know, talking about how you're looking forward to this season. And then this is the product you get. Me and DW are fans first. We were fans before we started writing, and it's heartbreaking because we're not national media to where we're just talking about every other team and we don't actually have anything invested. We're fans like all of you. So this, if you can't tell by our tones, poor DW is over there drinking himself to death. It's rough, folks, but me and DW will be here every week. Do we do this during the bye week?
Oh, God, no, we're not going.
We'll just be like, folks, there was no game, but we didn't lose. But, for all the games we're going to lose, and we will lose more games, we'll be here to talk you through it, I guess, and show that you're not the only ones who are feeling miserable on your Monday commute or whenever you choose to listen to it.
Yeah. I agree, Evan. I've been watching Falcons games literally since 1980. You guys can do with that what you want to figure out my age and whatnot. But I've been through some really, really bad stretches of Falcons football, and this is arguably one of the worst. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard to cover it. It's hard to write about it. It's hard to record a podcast about it. And yet here we are wrapping up this week's podcast about the loss to the Rams. I appreciate you, Evan. I appreciate you being on here with me and suffering through this process.
Always, buddy.
Why don't you tell the fans where they can find you, what you've got going on?
You can find me writing at thefalcoholic.com. You can find me on Twitter at Evan Birchfield. I do a tweet recap, which usually comes out on Monday or Tuesday. Basically, just going through the game, posting some funny tweets that people have, and your tweets can appear in it. Just make sure you're following me and the Falcoholic, so it's easier for me to find your tweets. I also do a fantasy preview on Fridays. So if you're trying to distract yourself from, you know, Falcons football, you can join the fantasy world where anything can happen. And so, yeah, you can check that out. And yeah, appreciate you guys for listening to me and DW. And we'll be back next week to cover the Seahawks Falcons game, which should be fun. Because I don't know if any quarterback wise, you know, it's tough to find somebody right now who's playing as good as Russell Wilson. You know, he's definitely a top five this year. So that's going to be, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Interesting being the key word.
Yeah.
as for me, guys, you can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW, here weekly on the Falcoholic podcast. And of course, my articles at thefalcoholic.com. It's been a tough go. We are 1-6, and things are looking worse than they ever have. But we will be here every week. Tune in, listen in, get your frustrations out, and just know that you are not in this alone. The Falcons are sinking all of us at the same time, and at least we're going to drown together. So for Evan Birchfield, this is David Walker. Thank you guys for tuning in to this week's postgame podcast. And we'll talk with you next time.